picking up the ball. There was a fumble. He picked up the ball, and he ran the wrong way for a touchdown for the other team. And I kind of identified with that guy. Because I don't know if you noticed or not, when we were saying the ball came up and lighted the Advent candles, because once again, the pastor had dropped the ball. And I'm glad that somebody caught it, and Bob didn't get to be an acolyte as a kid, but he gets to be one now, and I'm glad for that. And I'm gonna take this mask off if I can, try to get it the right way. And let's we prepare to head into God's Word. May we pray. Lord, we look forward to meeting you in this time around your Word. Keep our hearts in prayer. Keep us on our toes, attentive, looking for you. Let no fault of the speaker inhibit the truth you would have us draw deeper from your Word. Bless us. So, questions as we begin. Have you ever had someone famous take a genuine interest in you? Think about that. Have you ever had someone famous take a genuine interest in you? I shook Ronald Reagan's hand once when I was a teenager, but I was just a hand in the crowd. Carrie and I ran into James Earl Jones one time in an airport. I got to talk with him. That was pretty cool. Nice guy. Andy Griffith came to the church I served in California to film an episode of Matlock. And he was friendly too, but you kind of know how that goes. You're interested in them and would like them to be your new best friend, but they're not really interested in you. I mean, polite person would do if they give you the time of day. But then again, you don't think about it. With so many people around them wanting their attention, I mean, what can they do? One night I had eaten too many Christmas cookies before I went to bed, and I had this dream. I dreamt that New York City had a new mayor. And I had no idea who he was, but I kept running into him no matter where I went in the city. And here's the thing. He knew me somehow. And for some reason had decided that he really liked me. Now, wherever I went, if it was a public event and he was on the microphone somewhere and I was in the crowd, it was like, James, so good to see you. Give me a high five. You know, it's that kind of thing. And then I woke up. But still, for this lingering moment, you know, just the moment, you know how that is after you dream sometimes, like, still with you when you wake up. I woke up with this feeling, wow, the mayor of New York City calls me his friend. That's pretty cool. Now, there's a moral to this story somewhere, and we'll get to that. Before we do, let's go to Mary's story in the Gospel of Luke. I love Luke's gospel because he shows us the most down-to-earth things that no one else does. Matthew tells us about the wise men. Luke tells us about the shepherds. Matthew tells us Joseph's story, but Luke quietly tells us about young Mary and old Elizabeth. And there is a good reason to believe that Luke sat down. That's where he got his information. The information about Jesus' birth and how it all came about. You know, you don't know what someone else is really thinking unless they tell you. And here Luke tells us what Mary is thinking. Just one verse. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. but no one less than the God who spoke the moon and the stars they were, sends an angel to tell her well, she was blessed and that she was highly favored with him, that she, the Holy Spirit, would conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be holy, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. It happens. The baby came. And the shepherds came talking about good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And Mary treasured this. She treasured it, all of him, all that he meant. Didn't matter what other people thought. And you know, that's the beautiful thing about God. The more our hearts are in tune with him, what other people are saying, what other people are thinking, that falls aside. Suddenly she understood the one thing that changed everything. And I love what this tells us about God. It shows us that God loves to do the best things through humble people. We need to remember that because, you know, we live in a culture that so desires celebrity. And you think of the extent to which, for example, you look at the social media phenomenon, and, you know, sometimes you may wonder, why is it that, you know, somebody wants to put that, you know, what they had on for breakfast on Facebook, why is it that some people just give me this continual panorama of their lives? And sometimes they're just genuinely socially gifted people, like Bob Dodson. He's a socially gifted guy. I want to be like that when I grow up, but I struggle a little more. Tim's another socially gifted guy, but anyhow, some people, and we have to watch ourselves. You know, that there's that desire to say, kind of, look at me. And the question is, how do we fulfill that? And that isn't happening in our lives. How are we? Dennis was mentioning about Christmas music. Sometimes it just seems to get louder every year. It's always this big Christmas show, right? I mean, the gold and the glitz and the bright lights, and I don't know, Christmas with the Rockettes comes to mind. And yet what it's about is this quiet. And this young girl in God quietly appears. And there's this, there's no room. They have to go out to the stable for the baby to be born. And then after that baby is born, it's rough. We don't know how rough it is, but we do know that Joseph was probably, we know he was older than Mary. We know he probably died young because he disappears from the scene pretty quickly. So then Mary would eventually probably remarry because she's not referred to as a widow. I mean, but it was tough. It was tough. And then you hear things as Jesus comes on the scene. Well, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because again, the world is always, it's the big show the world is looking for.
God loves to work in the smallest places, the overlooked places. Sometimes when God wants to use you, he hides you, I've heard it said. And I really believe that. You know, sometimes the most powerful things happen. We never know are happening at the time. You find out about them later. Realize, you know, wow, God was at work there. And I didn't even know it. Like Jacob, right? The Lord was in this place, and I didn't even know it. And I wonder about that in your life and in mine. Maybe there are places in our lives where we're looking. Maybe there's places where we think, I need to change. Where I'll always struggle. Just the smallest step made in love with him. Think of what Mary said. She said to the angel, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Just, I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm the Lord's servant. This has ramifications in so many areas of our lives, in our relationships. Maybe there are broken. I think of someone, and Carrie, I hope you don't mind my mentioning this, I'm not going to name names, but I think of a relationship that Carrie had with a woman who they used to be good friends, and then there was a falling out, and it was really, you know, more on the part of this woman and something she had done, and something her daughter had done, but there was a wedge. And you know how that is. You know, sometimes, I mean, if you have a little bit of feisty in your family, like we have in ours, you know, and you're not quite, you know, there's those places where the Holy Spirit is still working, bringing that sanctification. Just the mention of that name, you know, it's like Potter and George Bailey. And we all know that. Come on. And anyhow, Carrie had the opportunity to be part of this prayer group. And she found out that person was going to be there. It's like, oh, I want to go. She's going to be there. It's like, Carrie, come on. you got to go. And here's the cool thing. She went. And God ended up doing this healing. All right, that's Exhibit Z. No, not Z. We're going to have more. But how many times it's so important to pray together, right? But I mean, God does this work within her. It heals the relationship. And she's praying, you know, for our family. And we're praying for hers. And, you know, sometimes it's in the smallest places. Where is it? Those places where we're overlooking how God's really good. His word tells us he's able to do immeasurably more than all.
stop living. It showed her what God was doing. And she was so humble, she just continued to be surprised by it. And that's the thing about Mary. She didn't ask for God to do great things for him. She just loved him. She lived for him. She wasn't living for his blessings. You know, lately on TV, you'll sometimes see an ad for something called, I don't know, I think it's an inspiration cue or something. I'm not going to mention too much about it, but there's this preacher who has more hair than I do. And, you know, they show these shots from the sermon, and he's telling about, oh, how God wants you to have this and that. And I'm watching it last night. And, maybe I'm jealous of his hair. I don't know. But, you know, for like every statement he comes up, I'm with a counterpoint. Never talk back to the TV. It's like, oh, God wants to bless you. Well, yes, he does. But that may not be a material thing, you know. And so everyone, there's a counterpoint. And then after I'm done with all this, Carrie turns to me and says, would you like me to get you one of those? And I said, well, you know, it might be good for target practice, but, I mean, you know, Mary wasn't looking for what God could do for her. She was looking to him. She was hungry for him. And here's the thing, he blessed her because of it. Because that's who he is. His heart is drawn to the humble and those who truly love him and hunger for him. And certainly, Mary was that. So it's this reciprocal thing. We give ourselves to God. He gives himself to us, more of his spirit, more of himself. And this is, for lack of a better term, a 777 thing, you know. Future generations would call her blessed. Oh, that's true.
But Mary was also told that the Spirit shall pierce your own soul. God gets through all of that. And she comes through the other side and sees the risen Lord. And she's taken care of to the end of her days. Bitterness ate at me, and I shared that bitterness with anyone who tried to help me. And on the second Christmas, the second season without football, I went to a Christmas party at this guy's church. He said, gesture for his friend. Not because I wanted Jesus, but just to see my niece in her Christmas pageant. It's hard to describe what happens because it sounds silly, but right in the middle of the kids' play, I felt like I needed to be with those shepherds and angels meeting Jesus. And when that crowd finished singing Silent Night, I just sat there weeping. And I got my best Christmas present ever that night. He sent one to his friend. When this guy sent his family home with him,